Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verses 1 to 4. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The New Testament reading is from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Would you please stand for the gospel reading? The Holy Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is the Gospel of Christ.
Wonderful. Someone's phone's ringing, so you might want to answer it. I can hear it, but... So that was the ice cream van outside, I'm not sure. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your love for us. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would come and speak to us. Lord, would you come and fill our hearts? Lord, be exalted in our lives. But Lord, we do pray, Lord, come and speak to us, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, welcome, one and all. In case you're wondering who I am, thank you very much indeed. You're very kind. That wasn't a text. That was just something I asked Sarah to do for me. If you're wondering who I am, if you're new and you're going, well, who the heck is this guy? He's playing the guitar and now he's speaking to me. I'm the pastor here. My name is Fraser and it's my birthday today, as you found out. So God bless you all. I have a question for you. What is your heart's desire? What do you seek? Now, before you give me the standard answer, Jesus, of course, why don't you give yourself a reality check and be honest with yourself? What do you desire? What are your great distractions? My great distractions are gadgets. I am a gadget man. I just love the latest thing. Unfortunately, the career I have chosen is diametrically opposed to my desire for gadgets. I'm not one of those pastors that will travel around the world in Learjets. But our heart's desire can so often lead us down strange paths. My hunger and my desire for 2019, the Lord... Well, I think he's been talking to me, and the way I tend to know he's been talking to me is because I find the repeated themes arising in my heart. If you say that, oh, no, I can't hear the Lord, can you just banish that lie? Because if you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, that means that God has spoken to you and revealed himself to you, so you can hear the Lord. So let's get rid of that nonsense. So I've had this feeling in my heart just over the last sort of month or so for an increased desire for the presence of God. Do you remember as Warren was speaking about that last week? You see, many people seek the hand of the Lord, but actually when you seek his face, his hand will come as well. We're called to draw near to God. And we're in a series. We started, kicked the series off called Above and Beyond. It's really hopefully based around Colossians 3. But hopefully what it will do is give us a new vision, personal vision of intimacy with Jesus. What does it mean in our lives? Now, obviously when we say the word intimacy, some people instantly shut down. Not going to get intimate with me. But actually, the Lord longs to draw close to that whom he has made. And so we heard from Warren last week about a rule of life that he is going to follow that I thought was quite helpful. I don't know if you did. But it was built around the mnemonic, praise Jesus. And it had all sorts of rhythms in it. It was about building a rhythm of life that actually we can go deeper in Jesus and be a little bit less swayed by the winds of fortune. So he was looking at a number of things, and I've just picked out a few. Rhythms of rest. I wonder whether or not you get rest. Because maybe you're worried about paying the bills. Let me tell you, it's not you who pays them. It's the Lord who provides. So if you work every single hour that God gives you, that sort of expresses a distrust in God's ability to provide for you. I don't know, maybe it's a challenge. Rhythms of rest, of worship, of practicing joy. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. I love that. I thought that was so good. Developing an attitude of gratitude, being happy to be under authority, and to build, hopefully, oneself a life that is then worth living. So today, what I'd like to do is to look at the most fickle thing that there is in our being. Jeremiah 17 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it?" The answer, of course, is the Lord. The Lord can understand the heart. But actually, I think it is key in our gatherings on a Sunday, and it's also key in our spiritual lives and as we build them as individuals, to have a heart that is open to the things of the Lord and open to the Lord. And I would say this, and it's not a hard and fast rule, but I think we're pretty close to it. That if you want to experience an open heaven, you need an open heart. An open heart that is willing to let the Lord in. So we're going to look at how can we ensure that our heart is in the right place. How can we make sure that our gadgets don't overrule God? And having a prayer app is not what I'm talking about. So I'm going to take us to Colossians 3. We'll be looking a little bit at that great call from Isaiah's heart and also Jesus' baptism, because I think there are some key things there for us to learn. But first of all, let's look at Colossians 3. Pull it up on your electronic device, shut down your texts and your Facebook, and have a look at Colossians 3 with me. It won't come up on the screen. Unfortunately, I've not had enough time, and also I'm getting too old for that sort of thing. "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart," set your what? Hearts, "on things above, where Christ is seated," and where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden in Christ, in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." So how can we ensure that our heart is in the right place? Well, first point is this, for those of you who make notes. Know where you are. Know your positioning. I think this is actually one of the most extraordinary things I think about the Christian life, is you can either be passive or you can be active, spiritually active. And some of that is about spiritual positioning, understanding that actually we have a role to play in our healthy Christian life. It's not all done to us. We just plant the tree and walk away. We need to fertilize it. And part of this is about knowing where we are. So Paul writes, since you have been raised with Christ, you were dead, but you are now alive in Christ. You have been raised not only just to this realm, but spiritually, you have been raised into the heavenly realms. Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. One of the greatest struggles I find is actually so often we try and pull ourselves off the cross to get on with what we want to do. But understand, we've died to ourselves. The old Neil is dead. The new Andrew is alive. Alive in Christ. Is this good news? I think it's a lot better news than you think it is. I really honestly do. Let me tell you, I think that this possibly, if you can learn one thing in 2019, if you can live this verse, I think your Christian life will be transformed. I have been raised with Christ. Understand that this is a great challenge, but it's a great truth. In Ephesians, Paul also writes this, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us, yes, that means me, that means you, with him in the heavenly realms. So friends, to ensure that our hearts are in the right place, we first of all need to understand where the place is. We are not called to have a reasonable faith. So kick that one out the door. This is about a new and old spiritual reality. Know where you are. That's the key. Secondly, take control over where you place your heart. Now, I say that advisedly, because actually, we are the ones who have to take control. Paul writes this, since you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above. There's a deliberate action that one is required to take in putting our heart where our resurrected body is, where our spiritual self is in the heavenly realms. And the trouble is that our heart is fickle, isn't it? We want one thing today and another thing tomorrow. And I wrestle with that. Gosh, I wrestle with it. The undeniable fact is that the state of the heart affects the quality of all our relationships. If you are bitter and twisted, all your relationships will be bitter and twisted. It's really hard to love an angry person, isn't it? And actually, the state of our hearts, we are the gatekeepers of our hearts. We are the ones who hold responsibility for what goes on in here. And so, if we are feeling secure and safe, we find ourselves able to love. Able to love the lovely, I mean, that's easy. But to love the broken, just look around you for a moment. You're in a room full of broken people. Look here. You're listening to a broken man. But by the grace of God. And so we allow ourselves, first of all, to be seated in the heavenly realms where our heart gains its true alignment. Do you understand?
No.
You know it here, but do you know it here? It's only known here by walking it out. Because we know this, that the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. We need to keep it focused. The undefended heart will enable us to draw near to God. And not only that, God will draw near to us. James 4, verse 8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. We so often want God to draw near to us, but so often our body language, our mental state, wherever we are, just put up roadblocks to the Lord. If you desire to draw near to the Lord, drop your guard. Drop your guard before the Lord. Friends, there's no such thing as proper behavior when it comes to worshiping the Lord. Do not fall in to the sin of Michael, who despised David for passionate worship. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Like the prodigal, God will not force Himself upon us, but the moment we turn our face towards Him, He comes running. That requires an undefended heart. The great cry of Isaiah, I think, is my cry for this year. Isaiah 64. Oh, Lord, that You would rend the heavens and come down. I want to meet with Jesus. Meeting with You is a bonus, but it's not necessary. I want to meet Jesus. You're great, but there's someone who's greater. I'm sorry. He gets priority. Shouldn't he? Well, I've got one raised eyebrow. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. It's interesting, a bit like iron filings. When a magnet comes near it, it straightens them, doesn't it? When our heart gets near the presence of the Lord, our desires become straightened. They become ordered with the matters of the kingdom. So when we gather on a Sunday to worship Jesus, what is it that you expect? Do you come in having freshly had your argument on the way about how your husband or wife has driven or why you've left so late to get to church? You know, that usual argument or whatever it is that you do and you get in here. Do you come just to do church? Because if you do, you can go somewhere else. Because we've come to meet Jesus. Which means that it's incumbent upon me and the worship team to prepare ourselves before we lead you in worship. Because we've got to know where we're going. And it's incumbent upon you as well to prepare yourself. So I'm coming into the throne room of Jesus. Now some of you may be too tired for that. Or not hungry. Well, there's an antidote. And it's called prayer. And it goes like this. Lord, I'm not hungry today. Will You make me hungry? Lord, I'm so distracted. Lord, will You capture my attention? It's very simple. Simple spirituality with great answers. The Lord longs to draw near to you, but He wants to know that you want to draw near to Him. And if you don't feel like it, be honest with Him. And then sort it out. Longer worship. You will notice that actually our worship times here are now getting longer. Well, that's two reasons. One, because I just love worship. But secondly, I know that the Father draws near when we pour ourselves out to Him in worship. So we will dwell in worship. before the Lord. It's where we're going. It's where the boat's going. It's where the bus is heading. Hop on board. Because it's all about making sure that we are seated in the right place. Do you know, when our heart are in the right place, most extraordinary things can happen. Jesus was being baptized, as you know, in the Jordan by John. And obviously Jesus had prepared himself, and John says, "Oh, fool, you should be baptizing me, Jesus." Jesus said, No. This is an act of worship that I must go through to fulfill all righteousness. This is part of my submission to the hand of the Lord. John went, okay, let's go for it. And you know, when Jesus encountered the presence of God, in Mark's version, I think it's extraordinary. Do you remember Isaiah 64? Oh, that you would rend the heavens, tear the heavens, and come down. And Mark's account of this, it says, "And they looked, and heaven was torn open, and the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove." Extraordinary, isn't it? That tearing happens every time we gather and engage with the Lord. But not only that, our hearts become realigned, but not only that, our hearts can then become rewired. You know, friends, we hear a lot of lies in our lives. "I'm no good. I never will be any good. And boy, I'm not good now. Stuff I've done in the past. Or maybe I'm broken. Lord, you don't know the sin in my life." Well, the fact of the matter is that the Lord does know the sin in your life. "Lord, I'm not able to forgive people." This is all brokenness in our hearts. But do you know, when we draw near to God and He realigns us, He rewires our hearts to enable us to be able to forgive. To have a proper right image, a body image that is saying, "I am beautifully made and I'm wonderful in God's sight." And you know, I think Jesus needed to hear what God spoke over him at his baptism. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." When was the last time you heard that? I was at a conference a number of years ago, 25 years ago. It was a long time ago. And it was great, called Dawn, Disciple a Whole Nation. We were gathered there, and there was a great worship leader, and I was young in my faith, and I didn't know any better. I just threw myself into worship. Then I learned better and realized that what I'd learned wasn't better, it was worse, and now I throw myself back into worship again. But actually, in that time of undefendedness before the Lord, I was just pouring myself out to the Lord, a picture came into my mind's eye, which rewrote my heart. Now, for many of you, you don't know, and Mum, please give me license for this. My mother's here. But we're a broken family. My dad left when I was 3. And that was pretty hard going. Trying to understand that you're unconditionally loved. And Mum kept telling me, but pretty hard to understand it when your father leaves you. Well, I was in this time of worship, just pouring myself out to the Lord. And the Lord gave me a picture of me running as a child into his arms. And I then understood he was my father. And it rewrote my heart. You know, that brokenness from my childhood was healed as I worshipped him, as I chose to be undefended. We've all got bits of brokenness that sometimes we hold on. Let go. Let God rewire you as you draw into his presence. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Because, friends, I know this, that the Lord is longing to speak over you. "You are my son or my daughter, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Have you heard that recently? Do you believe it for yourself? sort of, kind of. No. Shall we stand? Father, we come to you. Broken. Ashamed. Pitiful. But redeemed. So Lord, I choose, and I hope my brothers and sisters do here as well. Lord, I choose to set my heart on things above. I set my mind there as well. I thank you, Lord, that I have been raised with Christ. Just for those of us who just would like a fresh touch from the Lord or a sense of his love over us, I want you to step forward and step into this. In the same way that you set your heart, we also set our body. Do you know, it's pretty hard to bless someone when they've got their arms folded. You want to be blessed by the Lord. Can I ask you? Maybe you say, 2019, I want to live this reality. I want you to come forward. Come forward right now and step into it. So I choose to place myself in a new way before the Lord. Father, come by your Spirit. For those of us who just feel unsure about this whole thing, please, there's no magic about this. There's no performance about this. This is about encountering the presence of God. Lord, we pray now that you would come. I can have any vague members of the ministry team around just to come and just help us pray for these friends of ours. Lord, come. Now, Father, more of you. Now, for those of you who just want to do this where you're seated, best thing to do is just put your hands open and say, Lord, I choose to be undefended before you. I'm going to take down all my defenses in your presence. In and by faith, Lord, I speak over you, well done, good and faithful servant. You are my son, you are my daughter, and the Lord says that he is pleased with you. He is pleased with you. The Lord loves you. And we pray, Lord, for a wave of your love. Just a wave of your love now, Lord. Come, more and more and more and more of you. Here he comes. There's a wave of his presence coming. Thank you. Here it comes. Lord, I pray now, Lord, that you would rewrite our hearts. Lord, dispel and disarm the lies that we have spoken over ourselves and others have spoken over us. And we choose now not to believe them anymore. I am not a failure. I am not ugly. I'm not a loser. I'm not a nuisance. I am loved. I am chosen. God has picked me out. So, Lord, give us an undefended heart in your presence now. Now, more of you, Lord, another wave of your presence, Lord. And so now, Lord, teach us how to set our hearts on things above. We choose to do this as a discipline every day. We do it when we gather. We choose, Lord, to push into you, for you will never push us away.